If it occurs, how would it be structured? How would it work?
Well, we see examples of it happening already. Under NAFTA, there's Chapter 11 NAFTA tribunals, and they can overturn a law in any state or federal law or even Supreme Court decision if that law adversely affects a NAFTA investor. And a similar set of laws have been going through the provinces in Canada in the last 6 months, which would allow a Canadian provincial law to be overturned by a court if it adversely affected, again, a NAFTA investor. So what you're doing, what the first step would be to say any trade dispute can overturn a law in one of the three countries, the United States, Mexico, or Canada. And that would necessitate some court structures and some parliamentary structures that would come out of these working groups we have already going, the bureaucrats, where new continental rules would get put into place that would govern policy areas like energy, transportation, water resources, migration, business, etc., commerce, e-commerce, you name it. There would be some new North American rules set in place.
So business and money really seems to be fueling this.
The business and the money drive the agenda. And they also, the business and money pay the politicians.
All right, but now how would it be structured? I mean, would we have one huge country, Mexico, the United States, and Canada, would be one country, or would we still have three separate countries? What would happen here?
Excellent question. It would be very much like Europe. The countries would continue to exist. You still have Italy, Germany, France, etc.
With their own autonomy, right?
Yes, and to a certain extent, George. But what we have here is still the United States, Canada, and Mexico, but over that would be like the European Union.
This is where that board of directors comes in.
Board of directors. There becomes then it becomes an executive, so there's the working groups, which are the bureaucratic executive, and there'd probably be a president of the European Union, which there is, a president of the North American Union.
Of course, you don't mind a board of directors, Jerry, as long as you have those seats, the majority seats, right?
As long as they agree with you, the board.
But if you don't, then you have a problem.
Well, you've got a serious problem. And right now in Europe, because there's also a European Parliament, there's a European Court, and what it's come down to is that the bureaucrats, largely nameless in Brussels and in Luxembourg, give lists of the laws to the legislatures in countries like Italy and France and Germany that they can pass. And if the law is not on that list, the legislatures in Italy can't pass the law. And if they pass a law that violates the idea at the European Union level, the courts there say is right, well, they can overturn the Italian law or tell Italy to get out of the European Union. And so in the United States, we would begin moving from Chapter 11 tribunals to courts that could rule over the whole region and set laws. And to get it to a real practical level for people, it could say, well, we don't like the Second Amendment in the United States, so we're going to pass some North American laws that you can't have guns.
Do you also believe that the weakness of our immigration laws, the allowing of so many illegals into the country, that's part of the impetus for this?
Yes. Because, George, the way it was done in Europe, studying the European plan, is that first certain events were allowed to happen, as then when they became fait accomplis, like we leave our border with Mexico open, which George Bush has done, and in come an admitted 12 million illegal aliens, 75% of whom come under George Bush's watch. It's a fait accompli. They're here. One out of every 10 people born in Mexico is now living in the United States. Then what you say is, well, there's nothing we can do about that. We can't round them up and send them home.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll have to pass a law that legitimizes them to stay. And that has been attempted with these two recent Kennedy-McCain bills that I call a shamnesty bill.
Well, now, what happens, though, to an American who becomes an illegal in Mexico? Let's just say they want to move into Mexico, so they just go.
You'd be arrested and put in jail for the rest of your life and have to have a lot of money to bail yourself out.
Oh, my God.
You know, because it's not one... The pressure is to allow the Mexican underclass to come into the United States, which favors the moneyed interests in Mexico, the families, the few business interests that dominate Mexico. Mexico has the largest proportion of, the most millionaires and billionaires per percentage of population virtually of any country of the world. And there's very, very wealthy families and people in Mexico and extremely poor in the masses. The idea is to send the masses to the United States so the, you know, the elite wealthy in Mexico don't have to pay the social cost, and let the U.S. middle class pay the social cost of Mexico's poor.
I will be very interested to see what kind of phone calls we have during the program, Jerry, to see what Coast to Coast listeners feel about this.
I'm looking forward to
it. You know, we do have that Star Trek mentality of the Federation.
Well, let's take it on. And what's happening then, George, is you see the other kind of de facto, the Mexican trucks then come across the border. And so now we're opening up the Mexican trucks. We build these NAFTA superhighways, which reach down into the ports in Mexico on the Pacific, like Lazaro, Cardenas, and Manzanilla. So in the world trade idea, these super tankers from China can unload the containers, millions of containers, or transports with automobiles, which are now being planned to be made in China, and import them up through these four football field wide superhighways,
yeah,
like the Trans-Texas Corridor.
We'll get into that, and we'll get into why that's being built. Jerry, is this going to be kind of like a competitive battleground between this North American Union, Mexico, the United States, and Canada, versus the European Union, or eventually will those two entities become one and the same?
Well, eventually they'll merge, too. We also just signed, and people don't know about this, but I wrote about it at WorldNet Daily, we signed a transatlantic compact. Bush just did it again on his own authority without going to Congress, created a cabinet-level position of transatlantic to bring the EU and North America closer together. And so the position's already been created. It's already cabinet level. And Bush signed the deal. We signed it with the EU. Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany, came across. There were top officials of the EU. And Bush penned a deal with the EU to merge us closer together.